With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I couldn't ever bring myself to hate you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Luke Moore's here.
I'm full of chocolate.
Jimmy's here.
Evening.
And Petey's here.
Full of something, mate.
I hope you've all had a lovely Easter time, ladies and gentlemen. We certainly have, but we're working on the bank holiday Monday.
We are.
Oh, we're slaves to it, aren't we?
Freelance babies.
Tomorrow
we
off, though.
We are the freelance babies.
Tomorrow off, though.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So,
yeah.
And Friday Naples, isn't it?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, no, we're making up for it.
We're still up.
Work hard sometimes.
Then go to Italy.
If you are free, come to Naples with us. I am talking to you, Alan Pardew. Pete, you'd be up for that.
Are you linking him with the Napoli job? Is that why he's left?
It would seem unlikely.
Yeah.
At this
time. No, because Napoli dropped points, which means they're probably not going to win Serie A now. Mm. Have they put the bat signal up for parts?
Maybe.
Find out on Wednesday on the continent. Won't be a very long section, that.
Yeah, poor old Pards, he's gone. We do appreciate West Brom doing this before we record.
Yes, thanks West Brom.
Thank you very much,
Marcus,
for that.
Are 14.3% win ratios getting harder to get?
Eight points from 54.
Three wins.
Nine losses in a row.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Why now? You'd ask the question.
Well,
wouldn't
you? We were talking about this earlier before you got here, Pete. But they were in such a tiz. They sacked the board before they sacked Pardew, and still sacked him anyway. Or maybe they didn't sack him. We don't know. Do we have to say at that point we don't know exactly what happened?
Whoever did the sacking, do you think someone said you need to sack the man in charge? Yeah. Righto. Not the board.
If you work out the ratio that Pardew's actually done, because of course he came in 4 months ago, he's got 8 points from 54, which means across the sort of length of a season,
that works
out about 17 points for a season. They've already got 20, so he's actually done worse.
Didn't he phone Megson to complain that he's kind of chinned off his new manager bounce or something like that because they'd won a couple of matches?
Never call Megson.
Yeah, no. That's going to curse you, if anything, isn't it?
Unless you've got like a block in your plumbing or something. Don't call Megson. Never call... That's one of the first... For those people who listen and don't know that much about football or they're coming to football late...
Hello.
Rule number 5 or 6 in football's page one is never call Gary Megson on a football-related matter.
Yeah, and this is in the FA's laws of the game.
It is, Yeah, it is. It's going to be used... It's actually going to be used for the first time in the World Cup in the summer.
Yeah. Petey, it does seem a while ago now that Alan Pardew... got Newcastle United into European competition.
The contract's still running, though, isn't it?
I think it's still within the eight years. And obviously at the time you derided Pardew and so on all those years ago, and not everyone around this table agreed with you and so on. Do you feel that you've been vindicated?
Well, he didn't have Yohan Cabaye to play with, did he? He didn't have.
He did at Palace and he lost his job.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So. So there we go.
Yeah. Stop grinning.
What's your opinion on Alan Pardew?
I don't think he's a very good manager. I don't think he's a very good man.
But Pete's not even excited. It's kind of like move on. He's looking for someone else in his crosshairs.
Well, no moral fibre.
Pete already knew this about him, didn't he?
Exactly.
We were the doubters. So if anything, Pete's just been consistent.
True enough.
Do you think maybe they should get Mark Hughes in and then Pardew can go to Southampton and between them they can figure out how to get that new manager bounce to actually work?
based on the weekend, Hughes is in trouble.
Yeah.
His job's in trouble already.
Well, but if he goes to West Brom, he can relegate 3 clubs in a season.
Yeah.
Or be involved
in it.
That
would be incredible, yeah. There should be a FIFA rule that there is with players.
He has got Southampton to an FA Cup semi-final.
Oh, yeah. They could stay up on the last day and win the FA Cup. Who knows? Yeah.
Well, let's concentrate on West Brom, because as Pete said earlier, it does seem a bit of a strange thing that West Brom have waited or ran out of patience or whatever it was.
Well, we don't know the situation. Well, the situation might be, Marcus, that he's quit. And if he's quit, he's absolutely spineless. Totally. If you're going to
really,
given that there's absolutely no candidates left to take the job, and it's a lost cause anyway,
right.
And that John Carver, your pal's gone too.
Pards and calves.
At least stick with them. At least make a sort of attempt to convince some people that you'll stick there next season and try and get them back up. When he took the job, he was saying he wasn't staying there next year.
Yeah.
Whatever happened. So he's been a complete bottle job here, in my view.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at what the situation is here, pretty much. You know, even if the board and Pardew have reached the same conclusion by mutual consent, which is what's being reported, it smacks of basically everyone just giving up on the season. You know,
I mean, I think they already had.
Yeah, well, of course, but I mean, if you look at the season Leicester stayed up when they looked absolutely doomed,
of course, they
put an incredible run together. Surely, however bad things look, you can't just give up.
But this is the funny thing. The odd thing I find about what's going on at West Brom, Pardew. I mean, last month. We'll be into April now. So, at the start of March, I think it was, he was making noises almost as if to say, if they sack me, I wouldn't be surprised. Or if I go, you know, the man clearly wasn't having a good time. His heart wasn't in it for whatever reason. I think the reports suggest Pulis lost the dressing room when he was
Marcus,
there.
Marcus, that win against Brighton, though, eh? Can't take that away from him, can you?
Well, you can't. and you shouldn't.
That league win against Brighton, which was the only win they've had in the league since the 19th of August.
Yeah.
I mean, that is amazing.
Pardew's...
September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. 8 months. One win.
In a weird way, sort of stiffing over Houghton again.
Yeah.
He loves that little routine, doesn't he? But I think with you know the dressing room has sort of been a bit lost. Pardew's come in and it's not happened. Obviously, what happened with the taxi in Spain and all that kind of stuff. And this isn't a bad side, West Brom. I mean, yes, they
should be doing a lot better than they are.
If you think about the relegation fight, I mean, Everton are what, 9th, and they've got 40 points. You know, it's a low bar this season. Well, depending on how you look at it, the relegation scrap is a big one, and it's all to play for. And West Brom are the only side that looked absolutely doomed at the moment. And they've looked like this for a while. Now, the reports say that there was no suitable replacement for Pardew. Well, I do find it strange, and I'm sure it's much harder, it's much easier said than done. But Pardew's not going to stick around and get them up in the Championship. So there's no point in keeping him there. He's not cutting the mustard. There is no point in keeping that man at the club. We knew this about a month and a half ago, at least, if we're being generous. Mm. So I'd either get in an absolute nutter of a firefighter like a Paolo Di Canio, because what else is going to happen? Or get someone who you think, well, they might give it a good go, but actually they could build for the next season in the Championship or so, and maybe a more up-and-coming English manager or something like that, without sounding a little bit Sam Allardyce, if you know what I mean. But what the way it's panned out doesn't make much sense to me.
I think you're right, because if you look at, as Jim mentioned, they've lost, what is it, Jim, 9 games in a row.
Yeah.
If you look at that list of games, I mean, if they had, it's easier said than done, as you say, Marcus, but if they had done it at the end of January, which is possibly looking a bit unlikely anyway, because they had an all right run in January, they had games where they could have taken points. They were at home to Southampton, who were a bad side. They played Huddersfield at home, lost that game, poor side. Even a game against Bournemouth away, or Burnley at home, or Leicester at home. You know, you'd think a better manager with that group of players and who are a bit more confident might have picked up 4, 5, 6 points out of those games.
It's just
and then they'd
so
be
poor.
They'd be well in the hunt of staying in the league.
Yeah, it's been so poor.
They've got Swansea next, and you should view that as kind of a sort of a big game in the circumstances. But Swansea are 11 points ahead of them.
That's mad.
And they're
it?
Right. They're right amongst.
Given that they seemed doomed about 5 months ago, what's next for Pardew then? What do you think? Do you think he'll ever get another
job? Well, he clearly regards himself as being a Premier League manager, and he seems to completely unable and unwilling to drop any lower than that. So
I think that this kind of we might be seeing the last knockings of those kind of group of British managers. Obviously, Big Sam's at Everton; he would be the pick of the bunch, you could argue. But Pardew, if he doesn't fancy a Championship job, will another Premier League club gamble on him?
Well,
now?
I think we're making quite a big assumption that he won't fancy a Championship job if that's all that's available.
But I said if he doesn't fancy it.
No, but what I mean is, like, sooner or later, if there are no Premier League jobs available, surely he'll have no choice.
Well, like what Pulis has done.
Well, quite, yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe if he does want to take a Championship, he needs to make sure he picks the right kind of club. And, you know, I mean, has he considered West Brom?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair club. Question. The game they lost on the weekend was, of course, at Burnley against Burnley at home. And the amount of empty seats,
yeah,
it's such a shame, because, again, a home game against Burnley. Now, Burnley are having a great season, of course, and obviously they won the game. But it just shows you, doesn't it, that a lot of those fans just think, well, what's the point?
Should have been more people there to see that Ashley Barnes goal in the flesh.
Yeah,
they should have, because he's been great. He's been absolutely great recently, and that was a fantastic
goal. Yeah. He's scored in 4 consecutive games now. And the combo of him and Woods.
Well, quite. We said on this show in January that he... when he was being linked with Chelsea, however unlikely that seemed, we all said here, we like him. He's a busy player. He's strong. He's tough.
Chelsea's a bit much, though.
Yeah, it is. But we said at the time he needs to add goals to his game, and he's done that.
Yeah. The technique on that, absolutely brilliant.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was quite, in one sense, it was a little bit unorthodox, because we've got used to very athletic kind of overhead kicks, you know, where you rise with one leg and you kind of ping it with the other. Whereas it's nice to see something like that, which is
instinctual
and very effective, certainly.
The ball was behind him, he had to adjust.
Which, I mean, look,
I would have said instinctive.
Almost.
call me a traditionalist.
It's almost simian.
Yeah.
Very limmy.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed it. And what was quite amusing after the game is Sean Dyche was giving his interview and so on. Obviously very pleased. And Burnley, I mean, they are having a wonderful season. I think that the point was made perhaps on Match of the Day too, that it's only because of Pep Guardiola's team absolutely roasting the league that Sean Dyche won't win Manager of the Season.
Yeah, of course.
But they've been absolutely different class, and they went that period, of course, not winning a game for a while. Well, they've certainly been picking up the points recently. But Sean Dyche couldn't help himself in the post match saying, "Well, we still haven't been awarded a penalty." You know?
Yeah,
and it's remarkable.
Marcus, they've also got
the law of averages would suggest
they've also got 7. I would say that 7 of their last. How many have they got left? 7 left. I think 5 of those games are quite winnable. Yeah. So they could end up with about 60-odd points.
Top 4.
Yeah. No, I think it's probably a bit soon for that. But
The penalty thing, do you think there's an argument that referees are looking at West Brom and thinking, People don't need penalties against these.
Yeah, don't need it.
Just won't bother. Yeah. It's not fair on them.
I bet West Bromwich they knew that, and they could have just taken anyone out they wanted, and they've got a penalty all against them. Yeah.
My highlight of that game was Salomon Rondon sliding into the net to get the ball to save a little bit of time after he scored. You see that? That's brilliant. Good.
He scored a few goals, Rondon.
Yeah, I mean he'll get a move elsewhere. You'd think.
You'd imagine.
He was linked with Chelsea as well in that mad little period.
Anyone could head the ball.
Yeah,
Peter Crouch was.
Yeah,
not really, but you know,
they're all there on the phone. I imagine, like at the time of recording, right now, at least three or four West Brom players are on the phone to their agent right now.
In a very instinctual manner.
Saying,
and if they've got the same agent, it'll be one of those conference call things.
Saying, who wants me? All right, Jay Rodriguez, hang on, you can have your turn in a minute.
Yeah,
I'm talking to Solomon at the moment, as you can hear. Thanks for dialing in.
Yeah, but you two are the ones we care about the most.
Yeah.
Should we go towards the top of the league? And Spurs ended their 28-year hoodoo. It's always nice to hear the word hoodoo.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like that. Yeah, the first time they won at Stamy Bridge since 1990.
As everyone now calls it.
Yeah.
Stamy Bridge.
Who would have thought that they haven't won there since 1990? Everybody, because we've all been talking about it.
Because Gary Lineker wouldn't shut up about it.
And I thought I'd reinforce the point.
Yeah.
But a great win. And Dele Alli, after receiving a fair bit of criticism from some this season and not being picked, of course, to start for England, a noteworthy performance to slam in everyone's faces, Jim.
Absolutely. The first touch for his first goal was absolutely spectacular.
Burkamp-esque.
It was, yeah. And also the quick feet on the second goal as well. Like, I think Ali likes that, doesn't he? He's one of those players where a little bit of criticism actually motivates him.
Yeah.
Like we've said, I'm not comparing him to Ronaldo, but we always used to say that if the more you booed him, the better he got.
Ronaldo
absolutely
loves it.
He's got something about him like that. He's got that sort of, he's got that real edge to him. You see it sort of spill over a bit sometimes with like maybe sneaky little fouls and things like that. But,
are you trying to say nicely that he's a bit of a dick?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we already think that. Right? I don't need to hide that we think that. I've maintained he's going to get sent off for England in the World Cup.
He's motivated by criticism and gravity. That's what he very much acts upon him.
It is within the realms of possibility, although I don't think it will happen because it will be Sterling and Kane. Did the front two for England, but it could be Dele Alli and Jamie Vardy. I mean, any defence would
I
get
love that.
So
to
annoying.
I love that idea.
Well, it's good.
I know it is.
Sledge the hell out of it.
I've been
it's Panama. Where even is that?
Yeah, I've been interested to see the criticism of Alli because it's happened. Really, it feels like it's been crystallised since he didn't feature for England in either of those two games. And of course, his goals have dropped off since last season. But I don't know if I agree that he's actually been that bad. I was talking about this on Friday. I did some work on Friday. We were mentioning him. I mean, in his last sort of seven games or so, I think he's got 3 goals and 3 assists. The last time I actually saw him play was against Bournemouth away, and he was decent. He scored a goal. He set one up. They won easily. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he should be beyond criticism because I don't think that's true at all. And I think it was clever management from Southgate to leave him out because I broadly agree with what you guys were saying there.
Because Sterling's really good as well.
Yeah, I think because Southgate wants to, in those games, in those friendlies, I don't know how he's going to set up again in the World Cup, but in those friendlies, he wanted to move the ball quickly. And if you're going to level any sort of enthusiasm, criticism at Alli, it would be that he needs sometimes to stop fucking dicking about.
He's a bit ponderous.
He takes too many touches when he doesn't need to. And he's at his best when he moves the ball on quickly. Mm. And it's no coincidence, particularly in the second half against Chelsea, that's exactly what he did. And he got a couple of goals. But what it also shows, particularly that first goal that he scored, is that he's a confident player.
And also Eric Dyer linking with him. And if you were Dele Alli, you would say to Southgate, you're going to start Dyer, aren't you? Yeah. See what we can do there.
Yeah.
Come on.
But the second goal that Alli scored was appalling defending by Chelsea. Yeah.
And it was poor decision making from Son. Who got a lot of criticism.
No, everyone was shouting at him, weren't they? Yeah. I think Dyer was having a pop at him. And I was thinking, if you look at a different camera angle, the shot was on for me.
Nah, he should have passed that.
Shot was on for me.
Pete,
if you could lift that into the top right-hand corner of the
net. Well, he did, though.
No, I
Marcus,
know he did.
You're not as ruthless as Pete. That's what it is.
Exactly, yeah.
But can I also say...
I make better
decisions.
Actually,
goals you can't see.
On the Alli thing as well, just because I don't want people to think I'm being sort of contrary for the sake of it, Sky Sports did publish something yesterday. I think it was yesterday, listing, because Dele Alli's now played 100 Premier League goals, 100 Premier League games.
Yeah.
And all the active players in the Premier League, no one in their first 100 Premier League games has put on more goals and scored more goals.
Well, Matt did some stats. There's more. He's got more assists than ever before than he ever has with fewer games played. Like
he's a great player.
This season
sets such high standards. But
he's 21
immediately.
Yeah,
he's 21.
He didn't even have a tiny period of adjustment. He was just great straight away. So you know.
But do you not think though that Messi and Ronaldo have ruined it for players like Dele Alli? Because he's 21. He's not knocking on the door for the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah,
come on, that's rubbish. That is.
What do you make of Eriksen's goal?
Although.
No, I'm not. I'm usually one to criticise a goalkeeper. Here,
oh, go on then.
It just goes up and down and right over the top of him. He's like, "Oh, get out of that happen."
Well, Pete, when I first saw it,
it does look like it's going way over the bar.
I'm gonna jump to Marcus's side of the fence just briefly,
yeah.
And then I'm gonna jump right back over again. Because when I first saw it, I thought Caballero he's too far off his line.
I didn't say anything.
Shut up. We know what you thought. And yet, it looked like it was going about 3 feet over the ball.
Knuckled.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was knuckled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's also, when a ball moves like that in the air, it's almost like it's a snake hypnotising the goalkeeper.
It does. What I don't get is, why does he go lower, the goalkeeper? That's what you're talking about, the hypnotising.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Why? Even if the ball's going over the bar, the goalkeeper doesn't duck and go, well, it's going over, so that's fine. The goalkeeper would normally like put his hand up
but
and touch the bar.
Isn't he moving to prepare to dive? And then the movement
so
of the ball
setting
is
himself, yeah.
exactly setting
yeah.
himself for something that's suddenly become irrelevant, and therefore the
well,
confusion.
Perhaps, yeah.
So, what do you make? I mean, it was a great goal, regardless.
It was a superb hit. I mean, yeah.
What do you make of Chelsea's situation now? Because that's really them done, isn't it? For top four,
Chelsea.
It's a strange. I mean, Tottenham. You would imagine would finish in the top four, as you say, 8 points above fifth place Chelsea. Antonio Conte is not worried about his Chelsea future. Is that because he doesn't want to be there?
He's not worried about it. He's already decided he's off.
Well, his mate Gianluca Vialli is already convinced that he's already sort of checked out. He's tired.
There's no way he's going to be there.
He's tired of not being able to buy his own players and stuff. But his escape route is Italy or PSG. Not bad, really, is it? Not a bad bit of work, is it?
PSG on the way home to Italy. I won a league title there as well.
Here's something for you guys, because I just think 6 or 7 games out from the end of the season, it's interesting to make these comparisons. I did a bit of research, and this time last season, so when we had roughly 31 games done, although it was a bit different last season because some teams had a game in hand and all the rest of it. But this time last season, Spurs were in second with 68 points. Chelsea were top with 75. Liverpool were third with 63. And City were fourth with 61. This season, Man City have got 84 points. So they're 23 points better off this season than they were this time last season. United have got 68. They're 14 points better off. Liverpool are 3 points better off. Spurs are 4 points worse off. And Chelsea are 19 points worse off.
Yeah.
So the drop. So the thing, Spurs have been roughly Spurs and Liverpool have been roughly similar, because it depends on the fixture list and stuff like that. And of course, Spurs finished the season last season very, very strongly. Chelsea have dropped. The swing between Chelsea and Man City, right, has been 42 points
phenomenal.
In a year. It's crazy.
Well, I find it could be an interesting time for Chelsea, and especially in the summer, very important, because you would imagine, as all reports suggest, that Conte will be off, so a new manager will most likely be the order of the day. But if they don't get Champions League football, and you wouldn't think they would now, they might struggle to sign some top players, because top players want to be in the Champions League, and one or two players may want to leave because they don't have Champions League. Now, I know that not being in the Champions League, it might not be that drastic, but it is a factor.
I think it's a really important point, and I'll tell you why, because people will say, naturally, instinctively, people will say, this short-termism doesn't work. You've got to give a manager a chance, give them time. But for Chelsea, it has worked. Yeah. They've been very short-termist for years. Yeah. Since Abramovich came in, they've won the Champions League, something they never did before. They've won league titles and all the rest of it. But they've always been in the Champions League. Now they're not going to be. It's almost certain they're not going to be in the Champions League next season. So it'll be fascinating to see how that affects their short-term approach, given now they don't just chuck money at players.
So
they might have to go back to their old model, because they might have to pay loads of money to convince players to come there because they're not in the Champions League.
Well, they weren't in the Champions League last season, and they won the league. So
True.
I mean, in recent history that has happened, but this is a bit different because it's now looking like a pattern, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah,
With their short-term approach, we assume that they're not going to be in the Champions League, so that might have to be scrapped. Then you've got Arsenal with the opposite approach. What approach do you take, Peter?
The middle ground.
Rafa Benitez approach.
Get Rafa in.
Are you saying
please don't take Kennedy back in.
Well, on that, Peter, just before we go to an outbreak, let's talk about Newcastle United. It was a very, very big win for Rafa Benitez and the boys. Yeah, they're up to 12. 7 whole points above the relegation zone with 7 matches left. I mean, Newcastle are safe. We might as well talk about them being safe now, Peter.
If you can get a point against Leicester and then kick on with maybe another win, I think they'll be all right.
Iose Perez, the predictable hero.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, there's absolutely almost zero chance that they can be relegated. I mean, because there's so many.
Well, there is.
Well,
face.
Well, there is, because it's not just the points; it's the teams below them.
Yeah,
yeah. I know everyone's an absolute joke at the moment, but like, yeah, no, I can't see them getting relegated either.
But even if Southampton and Stoke step up to get a point a game, which is roughly what you need to stay in the Premier League on average this year, something neither of them have done so far this season, Newcastle still won't go down because they've got a better goal difference, and that's
why.
And that is the
important thing. Rafa's defence has saved their season effectively.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really hard to score against us.
If you want an absolute blueprint on how to keep a team in the Premier League, look at what Rafa Benitez has done at Newcastle. They never get beaten heavily. They never get hammered. They lost one game 4-1 against United. That's it.
Yep.
He knows how to set up teams. He specifically targets games he knows he can get points out of, and he normally gets them. And that's against the backdrop of all this stuff going on off the pitch as well. They've got a -9 goal difference, which is about 10 better than the next team.
He's got a game plan against everyone. Look at the way they played against Man City, and they only got beaten 1-0. And he was roundly criticised for that, which is... was unnecessary at the time, but it's still unnecessary now, but that's important.
Goal difference makes a difference, hence it's called goal difference.
He's got Paul Dummett playing well.
What a bit of composure from Kennedy, though.
Because
so many players... You're very much
trusting Perez to put that ball in the net. I was like, I would not necessarily...
Well, if you can't trust your teammate who's a forward to put the ball in essentially an empty net from about 4 yards out. Well, but a lot of people might have just lashed at that.
Yeah.
He and LaSalle in the back end of the season have been Newcastle's best players.
Definitely.
I think Newcastle could have had more as well. And I think, you know, obviously, as you say, this is because Benitez has set up the defence very well. But it does make a bit of a mockery of this idea that, again, you hear from the Pardews and the Allardyces that, if you don't take your chances in this league, you'll get punished. It's like, you don't always, though.
Yeah. you
don't necessarily get punished.
And you have been punished, Pardew. Yeah.
The John Joe Shelby for England chat, it just won't go away.
It won't go away with you, Mark.
Yeah.
Or match of the day.
Yeah. I'm just
reporting the news.
I love Match of the Day talking about it, purely because I don't know if they forgot, but there are no games left before the squad is picked. So Southgate's either going to have a massive about turn and go, do you know what, that player I've not picked for any friendlies, I'm going to pick him for the squad.
Bloody Jermaine's jigsaw all over again.
You like that Eric Dyer pass to Dele Alli? John can do that all game.
I mean, if Kane for whatever reason can't play in the World Cup and you have to play with Vardy, he wouldn't be a bad plan B, but
he's coming around.
It's not ideal.
Pete, you're saying it, Marcus.
Yeah.
By the end of this show, Pete's going to be a fully paid up member of the John's for England.
John's for England,
But Marcus, as we all know, and everyone listening at home knows, Marcus is operating under a 100-man squad rule.
Yeah.
So,
so why not chuck him in?
In this scenario,
can we get Kennedy in there as well?
Marcus, in this scenario, how many players do we have on the pitch?
They talk about the 12th man, Jim. I think we should be a bit more literal with that.
Yeah.
And then we might be okay. David Wagner says he has no concerns over relegation. They have three winnable games next. Right. Well, I did think that.
I love that.
He's quite calm.
You say the next three games are winnable. Brighton away, Watford at home, Everton at home.
Yeah, they
need
losable.
They need to score a goal. To win a match, you need to score a goal, and they can't score goals at the moment. So, and I don't think they even got a shot on target against Newcastle.
It does seem like a problem.
They haven't scored in four games, and he's just not worried about relegation.
Not worried about
but
relegation.
I love that, though.
No Premier League team has scored fewer goals than them. Still not bothered. Not worried.
He's fine. Yeah, he's fine. All right, after the break, we're going to talk about Manchester City and West Ham. Ooh.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I've never felt this bad ever.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Before we talk about West Ham getting a great win, we're going to go to Luke Moore.
Yeah, 2 weeks left to get your hands on those T-shirts over at fcramble.com. Don't miss out. They're limited edition, made in conjunction with Everpress. They're very good, and who knows when, if ever, they'll be back. So you've got 2 weeks to get yourself over to fcramble.com and buy up one of those four designed T-shirts that are limited edition. Don't miss out, fcramble.com.
Yes. And before we talk about West Ham, we go to the correspondence with Pete Donaldson.
Oh, squeezing that in, are we?
Yeah, definitely. Right, okay.
Well. Same place as every week.
you never say that, Jim, and you've been tainted by these two losers, all right?
Get on with it, you idiot.
No.
These two losers.
Squeeze it in. Right.
In your own time.
In my own time.
No, actually, in our time.
It's Easter Monday. It's relaxed. Yeah. It's all right. Just talk.
Graham Hunter's got in touch.
No, he hasn't.
Not that one.
No, he hasn't.
Hi, gents. I've been listening to the show for a year, and I feel I may be able to contribute to the repertoire of Keegan anecdotes. Apologies if this has been already been mentioned on the show, but this story is probably only witnessed by 150 people, and there were no film crew present. Let me take you back. The year was 1999, at a point where King Kev was somewhere between Fulham and England. Being such a recognisable treasure as he was, a computer game publisher secured his image rights for an upcoming Premier Manager game at 1999, also known as Premier Manager 64 on the N64.
Lovely.
Retro video game fans. And presumably, as part of this deal, Keegan needed to do some PR work around the time of the game's launch. The setting, HMV Oxford Street, 1999. The occasion, the launch of Premier Manager 99. The spectacle. Keegan, along with one lucky gamer, would play the career mode, in which they would pick a third division team. Keegan picked Shrewsbury, the gamer Exeter. 5 games of the season, it's going very well for Keegan, who sits third in the league. He is approached by none other than Man City, who was second division at the time. Keegan, without hesitation, accepts the offer of employment. At this, a murmur goes through the crowd, and it's pointed out Keegan's first game is a cup tie against the younger gamer.
Whoa.
Or the young gamer, I guess. Yeah. Not the younger gamer. Yeah. Everyone's younger than
I him. Love this happening. Yeah. Why is this even happening?
Yeah.
Keegan goes on to lose 6-0 and is instantly sacked by Man City for poor performance.
That's nice.
All the best, Graham Hunter. Thank you for that, Graham Hunter. That was funny.
Pete, I can tell that's not from the other Graham Hunter, because if it was from the other Graham Hunter, it would just be a long email about himself.
Could be. You never know. Hello to Dan. I think it's a gun chicken, but I think Luke said all gun chicken.
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
Dear Ramblers, in my position as an occasional reporter in the football department at Fox Sports Asia, I get to travel overseas and conduct interviews with the current and ex-footballers. Imagine my delight when I was informed by my producer that I was going to be travelling to Kuala Lumpur, subject to confirmation, to interview Ronaldinho.
Ooh.
He was obviously doing that too with the Champions League trophy and stuff, wasn't he?
He's always on tour.
He was doing a management game simulator with Kevin Keegan.
So, he was going to be in the Malaysian capital on April the 7th. Having been told about this a month ago, I put it to one side until a few days ago, as is common with these things. When I went to inquire about my travel itinerary, I was told there'd been a change of plan. I was no longer going to be interviewing the Brazilian genius because, as I was told by my office, he stipulated that he would only ever be interviewed by a woman.
Wow.
Disappointed, but not overly surprised. Thank you for that, Dan.
On a segue.
Yeah. We were talking about the lad with four kidneys, Peshko.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Gary Harrington got in touch as an adjunct to your story. Peshko got himself very drunk and ended up in the sobering cell in Cologne. And it was a full story and build, basically. The following weekend, we had an away match at Mönchengladbach, the biggest derby at our hated rivals. As we entered the ground, the chant was, Saufen vi pesco. Wir wollen saufen wie Pesco. We
Good one.
Yeah. Don't need a translation for that. But for the listeners, give them the listeners a one.
Booze like Pesco. We want to booze like Pesco. But nobody knew that he had the advantage of four livers, obviously.
So he sobered up twice as quick.
Yeah.
Four kidneys, not four livers. Yeah.
Sorry, four kidneys.
That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
It's already incredible. Yeah. Don't need to embellish.
Frankie. Oh. Dear Ramblers, Barry Scott is not trustworthy. Barry Scott used to live in my local area of Leytonstone, East London. According to friends that lived on his street, he was the sort of man that moved his wheelie bins into the road to preserve his parking space. This kind of behaviour is quite frankly disgusting. He no longer lives in the area. You could say the dirt is gone.
Yeah, he no longer lives in the area. He no longer lives in the area because he's sadly passed away. So,
oh, did he die?
Yeah, the actor playing him passed away a few years ago. So.
What?
Oh, yep. Peter.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't a no. I don't actually. I don't even care.
But to be fair, he is right. He doesn't live in the area.
My only issue was he no longer lives in the area. Yeah, he doesn't live in the area because he's died.
He could have been buried in a cemetery close. So
could have been. He might be.
Have some respect for the dead.
Yeah, I mean, that's still not living in the area, is it? Yeah.
Pete's saying have some respect for the dead.
Yeah, for the dead.
Yeah, sorry.
If you want respect, my use of the word instinctual. I can't respect your word of that.
If we don't put up with your extinctual, we don't deserve you at your death-hating best.
There is a difference. Yeah. Hello, chaps. Over the past few podcasts, Marcus and Luke have convinced me that club football merely serves as a way to pass the time between the glory of the international game, and I was interested to see what the Premier League would look like if everyone was of the same opinion. That means as soon as the first goal goes in, that's it. Game over. The charade of meaningless club football is over, and we can all go home to practice singing Three Lions and arguing over who needs to get on the plane or the Marcus.
That's what Marcus. That's what Marcus and I do anyway.
Yeah. So he said, basically, this is Sam Dunning. He said, anyway, because I'm a sad git, I've gone through the season's results to see what the table would look like if the Premier League adopted this first goal wins model, and it should be up to date by today.
Okay.
Man City still miles ahead. United are fifth. Everton are thoroughly in the shit. West Brom are safely mid table, and Newcastle are finishing top half. Also, Crystal Palace are dead in the water, and of course, Arsenal. A fourth.
Which they would take.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. Yeah. I was going to say.
So thank you very much, Sam Dunning, currently in Austin.
I don't think we implied that once the first goal goes in international football, that's that, did we?
I think that's what we hoped.
But I like how he's interpreted and he's run with that.
Yeah, I don't mind. He's done a bit of work. That's fair enough.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's the league table if you want to peruse it, Marcus.
There we are. Look at that, eh?
Well, show it at thefootballramble.com if you want to send an email in to Pete and he will do his best to read it.
Yeah, I will.
Southampton fans, you're an 18th in this table as well.
Oh, well, fair dues.
So there we are.
If we, and we would still like to hear from some more Barrys, wouldn't we, as well?
No, that's all we've had. Fewer Barrys or anything.
They've proven themselves unreliable.
Able to get in touch,
so let's hear about alive Barrys.
Okay? Yeah,
a lot of dad and not dead Barrys coming in. People like nominating their dad as being a great Barry.
Oh, okay.
A lot of daddy Barrys out there.
It's quite a steady dad name, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
There we are. A massive win for West Ham.
Huge.
Yes.
What a contrast with the previous home game.
See, Mark Hughes was in a claret tie and like light blue shirt. Almost like he was worried it was going to kick off.
I'm on West Ham, I'm one of you.
Hedge your bets, yeah.
Marko Arnautović had like a lovely time in the international break. Didn't he score 3-2?
Did he?
He definitely scored. And you sort of thought that with that sort of recent form, going up against a manager he hates.
Mm.
I'm surprised he didn't score more than two.
I know.
He's that type of player where West Ham fans would have absolutely been delighted, of course, and it was really important they got that João Mário goal early because it settled the fans
down.
What
a finish.
It was a great goal. But if you're someone who's being honest when they watch Marko Arnautović, just speaking to someone who doesn't support the team he plays for, you think you can be better.
Yeah.
You can be so much better.
I've always said that.
You're in that mould of player, like a poor man's Latin type player, where you just drift in and out of games. You're very, really, really talented. You've got a lot of ability. But when you fancy it, you do it well. And when you don't, you don't. Well, and that's what teams down that part of the table don't generally need.
I think Moyes playing him up front has worked. Well, it has worked. And I think putting him up
there, it just guarantees that somebody's trying to get the ball to him all the time, and he can't slack off, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's the focal point. Whereas normally he plays, or certainly at Stoke, he played a lot on the left of a 4-2-3-1, and on the left of that three. And you can, he's not really going to track back there. He's not interested in tracking back. I wouldn't have thought too much. And so playing him up front, he's strong. He can beat people. He can finish.
He can hold it up very well.
He can hold
it
up very well.
So much of his game by playing him wider.
Yeah, I know. I think this has been a great idea for Moyes to do that, and he'll be pleased to hear that I said that. But he did the business, and he seemed to shout at Mark Hughes, of course, when he scored the first one. And then Hughes downplayed it, as you'd expect him to. And then Marko Arnautović started saying, yeah, and you know, obviously, you know, I thank him for what he did with me at Stoke, you know, to improve me as a player and so on. And no, I wasn't shouting at him, you know, but he did say stuff about me.
he also said, and I have no sympathy. He's certainly been quoted as saying something like that. The atmosphere was strange, wasn't it? It was very, very up. It was like the morning after a massive domestic when the couple have remembered they still love each other. I would imagine.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comparison. I mean, West Ham, they needed a big performance and they got it. Now, I was saying on last week that I quite fancied Southampton for that one. I got that wrong. But Southampton, they are in big trouble. And that type of loss is the kind of loss that it's so bad for confidence. And Dusan Tadic was saying that they were ashamed of what they've done. He blamed the players. It's all our fault. And the way he was talking, he thought, cor blimey,
yeah.
This has really such a damning defeat.
Absolutely. I mean, it shows that mentally they're still losing if he's in that sort of frame of mind. Like the player saying that makes you feel like they're going to lose the next game without even looking at who it's against.
And having beaten Wigan, I thought, as did Tadic by the sounds of it, thought that'll lift them and that'll help, you know, put them on a better sort of trajectory, if you like. But it hasn't been the case. And Southampton are in big trouble. They've got Arsenal away, Chelsea at home, and then Leicester away next. Bournemouth home, Everton away, Man City home. Crystal Palace, who are down there, have winnable games. West Ham's remaining fixtures, Chelsea away, Stoke home, Arsenal away, Man City home, Leicester away, Everton at home. So West Ham have got some tricky ones, but West Ham are now 5 points ahead of them.
Yeah,
Southampton are in huge trouble.
As was said on the last show, you know, all of the other teams down there had tough games, and all of them went as you'd expect. And one of those teams, West Ham or Southampton, had to capitalise on it. And it just never looked like being Southampton.
Yeah, I mean, Stoke were unlucky against Arsenal, but they still lost 3-0.
Yeah, Stoke did okay, I thought, for the first half particularly.
The scoreline was not reflective of the game, really.
Southampton are, they are in big, big trouble. I mean, away at Arsenal next, can't see them winning that.
No.
I know Chelsea have had their problems, but you can't really see them beating Chelsea either. Leicester look a really confident team who move the ball quickly and look decent. And even the games aside from that, I mean, if you take aside the FA Cup semi, which they've got against Chelsea, but even Bournemouth at home is a derby. Mm. It's a derby. I mean, it's not really a derby worth
it's
anything.
It's the
but
South
it is
Coast
a,
derby.
It is a South Coast derby. Everton away, okay, you might pick up something there. Really, given that Man City would have won the title, even so, there's no way. Yeah. Based on those fixtures, Southampton will be lucky to get to the final game of the season and not be relegated.
Yeah, I agree
and if
with
they
that.
Are, they're playing Man City. So, you know, I mean, I'll be perfectly honest, cards on the table, I really hope they get relegated. But it doesn't look like they're going to need my...
There's no need for that.
It doesn't look like they're going to need my influence input anyway, because they're going to do a good job themselves.
And with Pompey, you know, teetering around the playoffs, could we see a South Coast derby in the Championship next season between Southampton and Portsmouth?
I don't think Pompey will do it. But I also think one of the other things that's worrying for them is that they have trouble scoring goals. And obviously, because they're down there, they hurry back a sort of half-fit Charlie Austin. He doesn't really do anything against West Ham. If they're going to be relying on him, which they sort of have been, even though he's been unavailable for selection, they've got Gabbiadini who doesn't really score. They spent most of the time under Pellegrino reluctant to play Gabbiadini and reluctant to really play any... decent striker. That it's just the writing's on the wall for them, I think.
But Southampton waited too long to get to change manager as well.
They did,
and you know, you see what happens. And this is when people say, "Oh, but you've got to give the manager time and so on," and then you do, and you were too late. You can never get it right.
And in interest of fairness, we should also point out they've got a game in hand and that game in hand was because the Swansea game didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So they've still got to, I think they go to Swansea. So if they win that game in hand, technically they'll be out of the relegation zone.
But we're thinking it'll just prolong the agony.
Well, they've got so many tough games to play.
They do indeed. At Manchester City, let's go right to the top of the league. They've set up a title-winning home match against Manchester United. Of course they have!
That is
of
amazing.
Of course they have!
Incredible. How have they managed to sort this out? Jose Mourinho's going to spend all this week trying to learn how to body pop just to distract him.
I told you he's going to bring out a range of cookbooks.
He's going to go thermonuclear.
I remember saying that when I think Manchester City beat them at Old Trafford and then they were chanting "Park the Bus," and I said, you know, they are absolutely dicking on Manchester United. Yeah. And never have you seen such a difference between just one place in the league, first and second. Because as you say, Luke, Manchester United are improved from last season. And I think maybe Jose Mourinho might have pointed that out in the media a few times, certainly recently. But I think he said, well, since we came down from first to second, we've stayed in second. which is, you know, admirable. It is something. But
Marcus,
if Manchester City beat them, you know, all the finishing second, and you can win the FA Cup as well. My goodness,
we said at Christmas that it could. I bet Man City beat Man. We said, yep. I wonder if Man United will beat City in this game next week to stop them winning the title, and Mourinho will hang his hat on that.
Oh, I can see a draw in that game, and Mourinho,
t-shirts getting printed up, half and half scarves.
Yeah. He'll be firefighting.
But the thing is with Man City, they're having such a great season. They either win it at home against Manchester United or they have another go to win it at Wembley.
I really hope
like just, a cup final.
I really hope they just have fun with it. Just sort of proper Harlem Globetrotters it.
Yeah, true. I know, but what a spectacle. I mean, I think as a neutral, you're glad that's happening.
Yeah, definitely.
Because the Manchester City have just romped the league so easily that there's just a little tiny little twist or potential or something.
At least have some sort of kind of photo finish style thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It becomes like a cup final for, yeah.
Indeed.
I wonder if, do you think there's a decent chance that Mourinho will do something absolutely crazy in this game?
Yes.
Like name himself on the bench.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm thinking more eye poke. Bring the eye poke.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's vintage Mourinho, yeah. Poor old Tito Villanova, God rest him. Yeah.
Punch Luke Shaw. Oh,
punch probably. Luke. Punch me, punch I don't mind, yeah. That means I'll be at the game, which would be great.
That wouldn't be bad, would it? Or he's been not allowed to watch the game and he has to go in one of the old
laundry carts,
something like that. Yeah. But that's not happened, of course. Man City play Liverpool this week in the Champions League. What I think would be quite amusing is if Guardiola, now that he will put his best side out for that game, make no mistake, that is a tough game.
Yeah.
And then if he played like a second string side against Man United
and still won,
and even if they didn't win, Mourinho would find that so disrespectful.
Yeah. I did think there was a chance.
The lads have been travelling a lot exactly. In the midweek.
Liverpool in the Champions League is our priority because the league's pretty rough. We've got Man United, fine.
I thought there was a reasonable chance. I don't know if I said it to you guys, but over the last few weeks that Mourinho would realise this was going to happen, this Man City game, and maybe get himself a ban so he didn't have to be in the stadium when it happened. But to be fair to him, he's not done that.
Yeah, well, maybe some choice quotes this week.
Yeah, but the ban wouldn't come quick enough.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. But Man City against Everton, I mean, how good did they look straight from the off? Leroy Sané. I think one of my favourite individual moments from a player this season was him running inside to collect that beautiful pass from Edison, the keeper, who essentially sprays it like it was a short ball, but yet it's still just about across the halfway line. He picks it up, knocks it over the player, and then sets off the move. I mean, it was utterly glorious.
It was life imitating art. And by art, I mean his back piece tattoo that he's got of himself. going, I'm the best.
I'm surprised that Allardyce didn't lay it. Just lay a load of washing lines across the pitch because he hung his players out to dry. To such an extent. He did. Like the team he picked was unbelievable.
Really?
Absolutely no leg. Really attacking. Yeah. With no real like legs at the base of midfield. He had Rooney and I know Gay's injured, but he had Rooney and Schneiderlin in there. And then in front of that, I think he played Calvert-Lewin, Bolasie, Walcott.
Go toe to toe
behind Tosun. So it basically tried to sort of go. I mean, it would have been, because obviously City always play a 4-3-3. They were just completely overwhelmed from day one. I don't know, from the first minute. I don't really know why Allardyce did that.
Yeah. I mean, is it to the point, though, that that was always going to be the case in that fixture, whatever Allardyce did?
It's weird because it's funny the evolution of Allardyce as a coach because we've debated on this show before where we say, oh, someone will say, oh, he was boring. And I would say, oh, no, I think he's a bit of a pragmatist. But if you take Allardyce back to when he was at Bolton, all his teams were really, every week they were so hard to beat.
Yeah.
He would guide them up into like the upper part of the Premier League just by being so hard to beat all the time. Live off the scraps, play Kevin Nolan behind the striker, all that kind of stuff. Whereas for some reason, it's almost like he's become so arrogant now. He just doesn't really care.
He's forgotten what he does well.
Yeah, well, maybe that, but also because he talks a lot about how he's come into firefight at Everton and saved their season. Just because they've got to 40 points and they're playing Man City. I mean, Everton are a proud team, especially at home. For him to sort of chuck, I mean, look, it'd be interesting for Everton fans to get in touch on Twitter or whatever. Let us know what you think. But I thought it was a bit disrespectful because it was like there was no way they were going to win the game. What they had to do to get anything out of that game, if the manager was still trying, was go for a vintage Allardyce, make the team really hard to beat. admittedly, Hope City have an off day, but they've had off days before against Wigan in the Cup, against Bristol City. You know, it does happen.
But was he maybe thinking that Man City won't play their best 11 or a strong 11? I mean, it's always a strong 11, admittedly. But he thought, well, they've got Liverpool this week, then Manchester United the week after. Actually, we could get at them. And if he plays very, very defensively and they get hammered, people go, well, why didn't you have a go? So I didn't see what you mean, but you can...
Because then you can come out and say, well, the best chance we had of doing it was doing it this way. And they've got, Marcus, they've got Liverpool at home next week, so it'll be interesting to see how he sets them up there.
I did think that the sight of Jordan Pickford picking the ball out of his net against better opposition could be a sign of things to come for England.
Yeah, get some practice in. Indeed. Get used to it.
Indeed. Now, we spoke a little while ago about how Mo Salah is very similar to Messi in terms of, you know, his frame and the way he plays. And a friend of mine pointed out a similar thing, which is, actually, if you look at Leroy Sané, he's quite similar in shape to Ronaldo as well. Mm. And also, given his youth, you know, maybe those two are the template for the future.
Yeah, possibly.
I really rate Sané.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
He was absolutely magnificent, yeah. But when Man City play like that, Liverpool, I know they've got a chance on, but they will think, oh, bloody hell, this is going to be a long old evening.
I think Liverpool might knock them out.
Yeah.
I do.
They might, Luke. You're absolutely
got
right.
Got a chance.
We are going to go to Major League Soccer, ladies and gentlemen, after this.
It's a fucking disgrace!
Indeed it was. The Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out on Thursday, everybody. How did our best better get on, Luke?
Liam Robertson, who sort of rode in on his noble and trusty steed to try and rescue this portion of the show, this portion of the week. He wasn't able to do it. And you know what? I've been getting a lot of stick on Twitter over the weekend saying that it's actually my fault. Yeah, it's all right. For picking out the wrong bets. It's like, well...
Good point. I would like to add my...
Okay, fair enough. Well, I'll see what... one of the guys who got in touch and criticised me on Twitter the most, I said to him, well, have a go yourself. And he said he would. So we'll see if he comes out of the woodwork.
Oh, what? To pick the bets?
To pick the bet, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You think you can do better, big boy? Yes, I do. Oh, all right then.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We will see.
He's not getting access to the Football Ramble email address.
No, I've said to him, you pick a bet and I'll guarantee you I'll pick it. But anyway, if he doesn't, because he's probably all mouth and no trousers, it's show@thefootballramble.com and I'll pick one out for Thursday's show.
Lovely. Lovely. As if anybody didn't see this, Zlatan Ibrahimovic had a magnificent debut for Los Angeles Galaxy. I love this so much. You think Zlatan's... he is winding down because he's obviously 36, of course, and he's moved to Los Angeles Galaxy. But he came on when he started with 3-1 down with 20 minutes to go. He scores a 40-yard volley and a headed winner in the 90th minute. Yeah. I mean, it's glorious.
It's worth noticing that they were 3-0 down at one point as well, with Carlos Vela getting two of the goals.
Oh. Like,
if you haven't actually sought this out and watched the highlights, it is an exhilarating watch, even when you know what has happened. Because it's also the inaugural LA Derby as well. So there is so much context around it.
I know. And Ashley Cole's the captain of LA Galaxy, by the way.
I forgot he's playing there.
Set up Ibrahimovic for the winner.
Zlatan's first goal was incredible.
It's just different. I mean, he said, and especially in the heat as well in California, he's just been living in Manchester, you know, and he said that he was absolutely exhausted. He felt like he'd, you know, played 40 games or something like that coming into this one. He's not played much, of course.
He came on with 20 minutes to go.
I know. He said he was absolutely exhausted. And his goal, I think, was 6 minutes after coming on. And he said that he just didn't want to dribble it. He thought, I'm just going to hit this. And my goodness, it flew in. Keeper was well off his line, of course, but still, what a strike.
He wanted to be part of that narrative.
Sort of showing his muscles and all the rest of it and the tattoos, and I just thought, he loves it, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, he's perfect. He's a perfect fit.
Absolutely loves it.
He's a perfect fit for
Do you know the derby's been dubbed El Trafico?
Oh, really? Zlatan also said in his LA Galaxy press conference that, oh yeah, I've done all I wanted to do in England. I conquered England in 3 months.
Didn't win the league.
It's just his words, Marcus.
He won the League Cup, though.
He
got them confused.
He did. No, he said,
well, he won a treble.
He did win a treble, to be fair.
I won the league. And I won the Europa League.
Conquered Europe. but he did win the treble at Manchester United. You can't deny. He said that he'd make the fans enjoy him at LA Galaxy.
No choice.
The fans enjoy him.
Pete, that, I've heard you say that before.
Problematic.
That ramble it? Live show.
I will make you enjoy me.
Enjoy me. So so there we are. Before we go to going for gold, a Carlos Tevez update. He said he injured his leg in the gym, not playing football at prison, and those who said so are talking bullshit.
Yeah, I saw the video of that, and he was actually blowing smoke into a baby's face as he said that.
Was it a prison gym? Was it the gym in the prison?
I've no idea. Mm. But it's time for going for gold, Peter.
It is time for going for gold. When they're going
for gold. Barry Grintles.
Yay! Now to be christened, going for Grintles.
Going for Grintles. This one comes from Sam Blakely. Hello, Sam Blakely. He's coming. It's legitimately my birthday today, April the 2nd, so it'll be an excellent surprise if my clues are selected. My mum didn't wake me up to give me Hat FM yet, so this is the absolute least the universe could throw up. And then he goes on and says, I hope it hits a nice sweet spot of having a well-known answer, but some tricky and niche clues. Yeah. Thank you, Sam Blake.
Well, he's already given us a clue there.
I think Sam's been in touch before. I recognise his name.
Yeah, I do, actually.
And it's not a very great honour for him to be the first clue contributor for going for Grintles.
Yeah, clue boy.
A completely new game. Yeah. Nothing to do with Jermaine's Jigsaw.
No.
Jermaine's Grintles.
Yeah.
Number one. Clue number one. Head on Marcus Speller because you got very upset last time.
Yeah.
No, I never.
Yes, you did.
No,
Grintles.
I never. Oh, I know, actually. You're right. So what are the, because I said stop, and then I said no. And we do that all the time, but for some reason you wanted to enforce a new rule.
No, it's not a new rule. You
stopped the clue before. That was your clue for.
No, but I didn't get, how many times do we stop? No, carry on. And we carry on. Okay?
Well, that's not the rules. No. The rules, if you stop it,
yes,
and you say no, carry on, that's your guess. You're
no,
done.
No,
you're
no,
done.
No, we've never
you're
had
done.
That.
Well, we are having that.
Yeah. So that's the rule, is it?
Yeah.
All right. Fine. Now I know.
Get a new rule book.
Marcus, we're fine. You're showing off to the listeners. We had this discussion before we came on.
Bollocks, did we? Put your trousers back on and shut up. Yeah. Go on, Peter.
The speller,
on you go.
The speller short trial. I'll decide when I go on because I am going for Grintles. I was born on the 26th of September, 1976.
Stop. I'll have a go. I'll have a go.
Zlatan it.
Thierry Henry.
Incorrect.
Stop. No, you're all right. No, David Beckham.
Not David Beckham, no.
Stop.
David Ginola.
No, not David Ginola.
He's not 40.
He's not 40, is he?
I won 98 caps for my country, scoring 42 goals.
Ooh. Stop. The original Ronaldo.
Incorrect.
Stop. Andrei Shevchenko.
Incorrect.
Nice ones, guys.
Yeah.
I have played alongside Lucio, Scott Sinclair and Landon Donovan.
Stop. Yakubu.
Incorrect.
Good guess, though, by the way.
And he's older than 40.
I scored the match-winning goal in both the quarter-final and semi-final of the 2002 World Cup.
Stop.
Ilano?
Incorrect. Nice to hear the name.
So can you repeat that?
I scored the match-winning goal in both the quarter-final and semi-final of the 2002 World Cup.
Stop. Michael Ballack.
It's Michael Ballack.
Very good.
Yeah.
That is a great goal scoring record for him, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Legendary Paraguayan set piece specialist Jose
Chilavert
once said about me, you couldn't get near him because his BO was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Why is Chilavert trying to get close to Ballack?
I know. He should have used more deodorant or a lemon. Do people use lemon instead of deodorant?
Maybe in Paraguay.
Michael Ballack got 42 goals in 98 Germany.
That's different class.
Amazing.
Isn't it?
Yeah. 4 years in the Premier League and the rest of my career in one of the country. Runner up in the Bundesliga. The Pokal, the Champions League and the World Cup. Returned in 2002. Yeah. I'd been the German Footballer of the Year in 2002, 3 and 5. UEFA Cup, UEFA Club at Midfielder of the Year in 2002. I also won 4 Bundesliga titles and a Premier League title. He actually wrote 3 Bundesliga titles, but he issued a quick correction. Clue 8 should say 4, because he won it with Kaiserslautern in 98. So,
wow.
There we go.
Well, happy birthday, Sam.
Yeah.
There we go.
Sam.
Well done,
happy
Marcus.
Birthday,
well done.
Marcus.
Marcus, zero to hero after last week.
Well, you know, I needed a point.
Are you going to be a magnanimous winner in a way that you weren't as a loser?
Yeah. I'm going to play going for Grintles in prison and injure myself.
Pete, you are for going for Grintles. You now take on the role of Barry Grintles, quizmaster for going for Grintles.
Okay, cool.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's a good place to finish. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. But before we go, Luke Moore.
Yes, don't forget to get your best bet with Bet365 in. Show at thefootballramble.com and I will pick a new one on Thursday.
Lovely old job. Luke, could you say goodbye now?
Goodbye now.
Goodbye, Jimmy.
Bye.
Goodbye, Petey.
Easter.
Goodbye from me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.